This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
K-Show 98.7 ESPN, and of course on the YES Network as well. Or maybe you're on the old ESPN New York app, which if you don't have...
Yeah, check it out, man.
You need to have.
The thing I like about the app, and I'm not just selling it because I work for the company, and it's certainly going to be, you know, something that we're really going to be relying on in the future, is that you download the app, it's free.
Sure right? It is.
And I've had to use it sometimes because I think it's an absolute travesty that in the greatest city in the world, I could be stuck in traffic in the Lincoln Tunnel and have zero ability to the radio. Because I when I was a kid, I wonder if anybody else notices this.
Keep going.
When I was a kid first, you know, driving into the city, I would always lose FM, but I'd still get AM.
Mm. Ray Rowe.
Now I lose both.
Mm.
And now I can't turn onto the satellite because you don't get the satellite. That I get because obviously there's going to be a disconnect when you're in a tunnel. But like, you're zipping through the tunnel, no big deal. If there's no traffic, you're through it in like a minute and a half. But if you're stuck in 20 minutes of traffic in the tunnel and you're sitting in your own head in silence with nothing to listen to, well, but you know what you do? You pop on the app. And then instantaneously, as soon as you hit 98.7 ESPN, you're listening to
Boom.
It. There's no download. There's no buffering. There's no, you know, introduction like, welcome to ESPN. In mere seconds, you're going to be listening to the Michael.
I know, by the way, is very common on the radio apps.
It's like, bang, whatever, you're listening to the show. And I can't tell you how many times that's bailed me out because I'm stuck in the tunnel and it's like 1901 and I've got like no ability to hear anything. And we all have our phones and you attach it to the Bluetooth. You can hear it right through your own speakers. And then you get out of the car, you park the car, you walk to where you're going. You have the headsets on, you're listening to the show. You're automatically there. And now Knicks and Ranger games are all streaming there. So you can listen to the games and all the shows. And all the podcasts that we do, my game misconduct is there. You can listen to past shows. It's all right there.
It's all there for you, Don. It is wonderful.
And it's F-E-F-R-E-E. I almost spelled it wrong. I almost went with the period from Shaq.
Here you go, like earlier, Don.
But I think you got to be a cold stone killer to be an executive in the National Football League.
I think it's a stone cold killer.
Right, but I like what I did. I mean, the stone cold creamery can use it like in commercials.
Nope. Now you said it backwards again.
Creamery. I'm a cold stone killer.
No, it's stone cold killer.
I know, but I'm saying if I'm doing the commercial for Cold Stone Creamery,
you would say that when he just tried to then talk about the creamery, he called it the Stone Cold Creamery.
Oh, whatever.
We have a lot going on today.
There's so much happening. It's all happening.
We have a drop of it and everything.
Yeah, no, we just played it. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Pete in New Hampshire. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Pete. What's happening? Hey,
this whole Ohtani thing, I know we don't have the whole story yet, but there's got to be something fishy going on because why would he change the story right away? I got to tell you, if that was one of my buddies, he ain't getting $4.5 million from me, that's for sure. I mean, and I know it wasn't a one-time thing, but it's a little crazy.
Well, the thing is, Pete, it's, you know, are they buddies or is it just somebody that he just had this strange relationship with? He's the interpreter. He did all these things for him. He'd warm up with him. Like, so were they close friends and that's why he did everything with him? Or did he just feel comfortable having this guy just doing everything for him and he just became friendly with him and it just became like a need, like I just need this guy with me all the time? And was he supporting his gambling habit because he didn't want to lose him because he just felt like the need for him? And I gotta say this, and I don't know what the story is, but if I was an American who had to go make my livelihood in radio in Japan, I would probably want somebody to hang with me that spoke my language, could help me out, do some things for me, make me feel comfortable being in a foreign country. So I get that he was close to this guy. But what I don't know, Peter, is what came first, the chicken or the egg? were they really that close and that's why he did everything for him? Or the guy that did everything for him became such a need for him that he felt like he had to support him because he didn't want him to go away. Not because he loved him, but because this guy knew everything and did everything for him, made him feel comfortable. So I really don't know how close they actually were personally, but from a professional standpoint, it looked like this guy couldn't make a move without him.
I certainly understand why you would feel much more comfortable to have someone with you who, but the thing is that's so crazy is the first words that are to come out of my mouth are, you know, someone you could trust. But Don, we don't know the history of their relationship. Maybe it started professional and then he really started to trust him, but he really doesn't know him that well. Maybe this guy had a, you know.
Also, you're buying into the stealing the money from him.
I'm not even the stealing the money part. Remember, I keep coming back to this. We just don't know. Because there's going to be some version of it. It's going to be some mix of it all.
But here's how I think it makes sense. You need this guy. You want him with you. For whatever reason, professional, personal, you need him with you. This guy develops a gambling problem where he is hemorrhaging money from the eyes. Ohtani knows if this goes public, the Dodgers are going to fire him. So the way to keep it quiet is, I got to pay these gamblers off. I got to make sure that this guy gets whole again. Otherwise, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. So was Ohtani feeding this for no other reason but to be able to keep him around? Because he didn't want the story to get out. He didn't want him to lose his job. So he was just funding this because he didn't want him to go anywhere. And then it ended up backfiring. He gets fired anyway. But like, was the motivation Ohtani thinking, I want to keep this quiet so I don't get in trouble? Or was he just trying to keep it quiet because he didn't want his buddy to get in trouble and then eventually lose him?
Let's keep it moving and go to Tom in Brick. What's up, Tom?
All right. I was going to say something different, but I would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
If Ohtani, his contract with the Dodgers disappeared, and now he could re-sign with any team in Major League Baseball, do you think anybody would really want to take him now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
He evidently, you know, from the things that you hear with this thing going on, he's really not a team player. He's the best player, but he's not a team player.
Right, but he's so good. So the question, Tom, is...
I know he's so good.
I know, but sometimes in baseball, because it's not like football where the blockers and the wide receivers need to be open, or hockey or basketball where you got to pass the ball or the puck.
If he was totally barred from American baseball, do you think he would go broke, or do you think he would go back to Japan? I don't even know if in Japan they will replace him.
Well, I don't think they care about Japan, because you look at Trevor Bauer, he's signing all over the place where did he sign? In Mexico and different places. I'm sure Japan would welcome him back with open arms, because they might obviously different standards. But the point is, Tom, is that you could always get out of the contract. If he's banned from baseball, you'd be able to void the contract. So would somebody take a chance? I think ultimately they will, because the skill set is so high. So they live with this. But I'm kind of with you, Tom. You look at the Russell Wilson situation, where the Denver Broncos gave the guy everything, his own office, because they wanted the skills. But football, chemistry, and leadership is so important, he ended up bringing the whole organization down. But in baseball, Peter, can you have a guy that only cares about himself, has his own personal trainer, doesn't hang out with the team, doesn't work out with the team, but is just so good that it still helps the team win? Am I wrong to say that baseball might be the one sport where you might be able to get away with that? Where maybe leadership isn't as important, chemistry isn't as important? That's what you have to ask yourself, because the skill set is so high, Tom. Would you live with the other negativity?
I got to laugh. I'm telling you. You are almost right. You know, but that's like us Americans. We got to decide a far different question in about 6 months, whether one guy's going to be a multi-billionaire because he can throw a baseball and hit a baseball. But they don't he won't even talk to anybody with the interpreter standing there.
I know.
He don't want no part of that.
It is strange, but I guess the question, guys, becomes, is baseball the one sport where you can get away with that? We've seen it bring down football teams. But does it bring down baseball teams?
when you've got a guy that just is independent of everybody else?
Yeah, I don't know how much. I really don't know. I mean, that's a good question for, like, it would be interesting to ask, what's the best example of a great player who operated kind of completely on their own? I mean, A-Rod didn't have a ton of friends in the Yankee locker room, did he?
I think he had, Michael would be able to answer this better, but I think he had some that were for him, some were against him, but, you know, he goes out there and if he hits four home runs, you know, does the chemistry matter? Russell Wilson losing his locker room in Seattle mattered.
It matters.
Losing the room in Denver mattered. Do you need the room in baseball?
Well,
you got to be good. But ultimately, if you're a superstar and you're hitting 350 and you're winning the Cy Young on the mound, which eventually he'll get a chance to do when he comes back from his Tommy John surgery, does any of the chemistry stuff matter the way it does in other sports? I'm trying to think. Yeah, like you said, Alex was like an independent. Remember, the Mets didn't want Alex because it was the 24-plus-1 scenario. They didn't want to have a guy that was independent of everybody else. But I'm sure during that span of time, the Mets would have loved having a guy that can go out there and hit 50 home runs, bat 300, driving 120 RBIs. Does chemistry matter then when you're putting up those kind of numbers? It matters when I'm throwing the ball to you, when I'm passing the puck to you, but does it matter in baseball? That's what you have to ask. That's what teams would have to ask themselves if he ever became a free agent.
Who's in the mood for some dick in Manhattan?
Joe!
There he is. Richard.
Hi, Don. Peter, I got three quick questions about New York icons, and let's see what you guys think. This Friday in the NCAA tournament, Marquette, North Carolina State. McGuire won in 77 with Marquette.
Right.
And Valvano won in 83 with North Carolina State. Who was the bigger icon, Valvano or McGuire?
Well, it felt like Valvano just for everything that's happened since then.
The answer is okay. Valvano.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, anyway, okay. Yeah.
The name Jimmy V rings bells. It's
McGuire
different.
Had the broadcasting career, and he introduced the country to Magic Johnson. All right, question number two. Okay. Give me 1, 2, 3. Walt Frazier, Frank Gifford, Derek Jeter.
Wow. Well, again, it depends on the era. If you're talking to somebody that's under the age of 50, they would have Jeter. Don't yell at me. I'm going to be like Aaron Boone. Don't yell at me.
No, no, no. Don't be sorry, Richard. Don't qualify. Just give an answer. He's right.
Well, I think it would be Jeter.
Yes.
Gifford, Frazier.
Okay.
Because I'll put Gifford over Frazier just because he became nationally known with Monday Night Football.
All
where
right.
Frazier was
last...
more local with MSG.
I would probably flip-flop Frazier and Gifford.
Okay.
But I have Jeter one. Go ahead, Richard.
All right. Last question. I don't think anyone in all my years of listening to sports talk ever thought it is, and this is really, I think, brilliant. What two athletes?
Thank you, Richard.
New York athletes. Not superstars, but almost superstars.
Okay, almost superstars,
one,
yeah.
Different sports, same age. They came into the game same time, one a black guy, one a white guy.
Black guy and a
white
guy.
Their careers were mirror images. Different sports. And both, I'll give you the greatest hint, were identified by one moment in their careers.
And this is, they're both New York athletes?
New York athletes. Great athletes.
Great.
Not superstars
not
in my opinion.
Not superstars.
Defined by one of them.
Super great. Super great.
But
they were both identified by iconic moments.
Can you give us a general era?
Right, 1965, they came in.
Oh, okay. They came in together.
To New York. Different sports.
So moments after 65 mm-hmm. in different
sports. No, that in 65 they came in.
Right. So yeah, but been after 65, then or in 65.
The events they're known for happened after 65.
Correct. Tremendous events.
Tremendous events, Don. And again,
iconic New York moments.
Iconic New York moments, Don.
Willis Reed, Joe Namath.
Oh, okay.
Both guys, of course, identified by a 16, you know, Willis and Joe.
Yes.
Both got injured a lot. Both never truly fulfilled as good as they could have been. Just think of it. Their careers were made.
I feel like they've been compared together because there is a book, and the name of the book escapes me, that talks about
the late 60s and the impact of those, the 69 with the Knicks winning in 70 and with the 68 with the Jets, the Mets in 69. So they've been compared to before. That was pretty good, but he yelled at me.
He yelled at you, and also I just had a big realization about why Richard may still be looking for love.
Okay.
In all the wrong places. Here's the thing, Don. You can't be that bad a listener and have a successful relationship with a woman.
Yeah, you got to be able to open your ears, man.
Richard calls, and he's so psyched about the question. In fact, today he called his question brilliant. I don't know if it'll work out into a drop, but it was kind of quintessential. He kind of summed up what we know he thinks about himself all the time. But when he asks you the question that he's put so much thought into, he does not care about the answer almost at all. Have you noticed that?
Right.
Once we give our answer, he's just blazing to the next thing. And it's like he has a 40-second preamble. He gets to the question. He asks the question. Don and I think. We go, let's take a moment. All right, I'm going to go Jeter. I'm going to go Frazier. I'm going to go Gifford. Okay, on to the next thing. You can't do that in a relationship.
No,
you have to hear someone and have a little back and forth.
And I'm sorry. I love Richard. But there's got to be a little nuance to the question. You say Jeter, Gifford, and Frazier. Well, the age does matter. Because if you're 25 years old, you know what they're going to say? All right, Jeter won. Who are the other two guys?
Exactly.
Right. If you're 40, you're probably going to say Jeter, Gifford, and Frazier. But if you're 70, you're probably going to, and if you're a Giant fan, you're going to say Gifford and Frazier, then Jeter. I mean, it's all going to change. I just went with Jeter 1 because Jeter's an icon. He was better at baseball than the other two with their sports. And Jeter is going to resonate for a long, long time because he was a Yankee and he was great and he went into the Hall of Fame by one vote away from 100%. But there's a certain amount of people that, like, Gifford did Monday Night Football forever. Forever. And he was a great Giant.
He was big time.
You know, and he was, and if you're of a certain age, Peter, you couldn't get away from Frank Gifford. He was everywhere.
I know. Oh, no, he was the man. He was the man.
But and Frazier,
he was with Kathy Lee, for God's sake.
And Frazier was the man for Knicks fans, because he's right. He was like the Joe Namath with the fur coats and what he's done on television. But I don't know. Do people in Nebraska, does he resonate with people outside of New York? Because he doesn't do a lot of national television. So it really depends on where you ask the question, who you ask the question to. I'm sorry. One of the best things ever, it's inappropriate, but it was funny, was Frank, David Letterman was on the Monday Night Booth. So it was Gifford and it might have been Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf. And it was right in the height of Kathy Lee on Live with Regis and all that. And they're interviewing David. And Frank, your wife, Regis called. He wants to know where the key to the liquor cabinet is. It was, and you should, like, all the blood drained from Frank's face. I did not find it funny at all. But, like, half the nation was, like, on the floor when he said that.
Oh,
it was, like,
God.
Hilarious.
Yeah, no, they were big characters. And, by the way, I mean, SNL used to have fun with Frank Gifford. I mean, he was definitely a big, big, you know, front-facing person in sports, period.
How long has he been
period.
Gone? 20 years? Like, he's been gone a while.
I thought 15 years.
I'm telling you, there's certain people that when they, I don't know if you feel it when I'm talking about Peter, like that when they walk into a room, you just feel like the grace and the importance of the person, that even somebody who maybe doesn't know exactly who it is, you just sense it. That was what Frank Gifford, like, it was almost like Joe DiMaggio level. Like, if he walked into the Giants room, if you happen to be there, or if he walked,
really,
it was like, that's Frank Gifford.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how it resonates for me because I was a Giant fan and I'm 56 years old.
I know. Like,
but if you're a certain age, because again, he's been out of the game for a long time. He passed away a while ago. So there's a people that are like, really, Frank? But there was a time.
How long was his run as like the best running back in football?
Well, he almost got killed on the field. It's like that kind of shortened his career. But he was as good as there was for like a 6-7 year span, way before I was born.
You know, right.
Late 50s, early 60s. Then he went immediately into television. He was on Monday Night Football from like 1970.
Well, see, the thing is, and he went national. So I'm trying to find like what, who in my life would be similar. I wonder if it would feel similar to me if Sonny Jurgensen had been a national presence, not just a local presence. Like this really great player in Washington, but he wasn't ever the best quarterback in the league. You know?
Right. It's,
and then he became a local guy. He wasn't...
You know who's kind of close to that status, although he's branched away from sports, is kind of like Strahan.
Yeah.
Like Strahan, by the time he's done on television, he'll be a bigger television star than he ever was a football star, and he was a Hall of Famer. Because he's still young. He could still kill it on television for another 20 years. There's going to be a generation of fans that only know him from Good Morning America and only know him from what he's done on Fox.
And he's been gone from the league for a lot. I saw the number the other day. He's been retired for like 16 years.
Well, 07 was his last season. He retired after that Super Bowl.
So it's literally 17 years.
And we're
years.
Talking about a significant Hall of Famer, but Peter, by the time his work in television is done.
No,
that's dwarf what he did on football. As crazy as that is to believe.
He walked, I was at a restaurant the other day and he walked by outside and like, but I was sitting outside and I wanted to get his attention, but like, you know, Michael Strahan's a very famous guy. I don't want to like blow up his spot as he's walking on the street. And I awkwardly just kind of whisper yelled, "Michael!" And he just kept walking.
Because he probably gets it all the time.
Right. I didn't want to, I was sitting. I wasn't going to get up and run after the guy, but I wanted to say hello. Because I haven't seen him in a very long time. Shout out to Michael Strahan. You're right, though. He will, in fact, be that. He is such a huge presence, television-wise.
Well, see, Richard, if he wasn't so mean and if he opened his ears just a little bit, he got us talking.
Don, 50, just they would have the Jeter.
Well, why don't you yell at me? He was out of line.
He wanted, you know why? Because he wanted you to shut up so he could get to talking again. That's the problem.
And so what you're saying is if he's in a relationship,
you
that
can't do that.
That woman's leaving.
You got to sit there and listen. Sometimes your partner will ramble on about God knows what. And you can't just power through and go, yeah. What are we doing for dinner? You got to at least feign, oh, yeah, absolutely.
If Nancy had a problem with me, that would be it.
You're not good
at
feigning.
That's the one thing she does not
You're not
tolerate.
Good at feigning.
I'm better at it now than I was, but she won't tolerate it. If I have a bad day feigning, then she will jump me and then not finish what she had to say.
And then
I'll
you
never
can't
hear
get
it again.
Back. And then
I can't reel it
and
back.
Now it's like now you got to wait a little while to come back to the table. You're basing on timeout.
There's the victory formation, but then there's times where you're down by 30, you just take the knee and just take it back to the room and you worry about next week. That's what you're doing.
And by the way, that's one of my qualities as a partner that I am working on. I got to get better. Like, Natalie is someone who, like I said the other day, on Saturday, we needed some time apart.
Right.
I am learning. We've only been together, Don, coming up on 4 years. I'm learning when I got to take a knee. And when the only way that we're getting back to where I want it to be, the sooner I leave her alone is the sooner we'll get back to where I want to be. But my desperation to make it better so I don't feel like I'm in the doghouse makes me keep working and working. And then I'm just digging a bigger hole.
That's 80% of the relationship for me. I think that for anybody, that's the advice I give to anybody to get married. Just listen. And don't even try to. Sometimes you don't even have to contribute. It's really easy. Just listen.
You got to try. But listening can be hard.
But you know what? It's not just hearing it. You got to listen.
But then on the flip side, you're talking about relationship. Then it goes right to the worst advice that's given at every wedding. Goes right to the worst advice at every wedding.
What's that?
Don't ever go to sleep. Stay up and work it out. Sometimes that is the worst thing you could do is just continue to fight it out. Sometimes you got to take the knee.
Right,
go to bed.
Because
you got to take
thing.
The knee.
Because the worst feeling is you're listening. Nancy's telling me something, but I get distracted for a second. And in that second, she asks a question.
Oh, no.
I didn't hear the question.
No,
she's staring at
go.
Me. And I go, huh? And then she shuts down. There's no amount of sleep that's going to repair that.
No, you might just need the night.
No, I mean, go to sleep. Because we can't work it out now. I just lost. All right? The stands have emptied.
Yep.
The parking lot's empty.
Yep.
You just go to next week.
That's it. Right? We play next week.
Go to bed, wake up the next day, start anew.
We're moving on to Carolina.
Because you can't repair it.
We're moving on to Carolina. All right, guys. Experience the all-new Genesis White Plains where their guests are everything. Take advantage of incredible special lease and finance offers on their full Genesis lineup of sedans and SUVs in both gas and EV models. They also have a full selection of excellent pre-owned Genesis vehicles. Visit GenesisOfWhitePlains.com or their showroom, Genesis of White Plains, located in the heart of Westchester County, 300 Central Ave, the newest member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Don and Peter hanging out with you until 6:30. Then it's going to be Larry and Gordon for a half hour leading into Knicks basketball, Knicks Pistons at Madison Square Garden. 1-800-919-3776. Where could we go? Where should we go? How about Sam Diaz? Big fan of the show from
Brooklyn. By the way, I don't want anyone to think I'm in the bathroom. I just had a mouthful of salad.
That's right.
I don't want them to think I
got your back. That's why you have two people on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You didn't have to bring it up.
No, you're right. Where am I going?
Sam Diaz in Brooklyn.
All right, let's go to Sam Diaz.
Hi, Sam.
What's up, fellas? Hey, just a couple of... I was writing notes while I was on hold here. Similar to Strahan, Ahmad Rashad.
Right. From a national perspective, absolutely.
Great call.
Yeah, very good call. There are people of a certain age, Sam, that only know him because of the NBA, and that's not even the sport that he played.
Exactly.
That is what makes him, Sam, that's what makes him amazing because he is literally NBA inside stuff. He is the face of NBA if you're of a certain age, and that guy was a running back in the NFL, and I never saw him play football.
And his relationship
receiver.
He was a wide receiver with Minnesota, Buffalo as well. But Sam, his relationship with Jordan was almost like the relationship Muhammad Ali had with Howard Cosell.
Close.
Like they were really close. And he gave him everything. He was a big deal for a while on television.
Yep. The player being a loner, Ricky Henderson.
Mm. Yeah, he always held out. He completely was independent of the rest of his team.
He was like in a land all on his own, right? Yeah,
that was a very, very good call. And he had a job until he was in his 40s. So.
But remember, Ricky Henderson wasn't showing up to be your starting pitcher or your quarterback, right? He could be a hired gun. He was there to get base hits and steal bases and play defense.
And he was.
And that's what he'd be.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you got on the Rangers, Sam?
Listen, I love Trouba. I think he's a very good player. I don't know that. I think the Rangers have a Trouba problem, though, because I feel like their defense, especially like with Schneider and Jones, like those guys have really stepped up. And I think because they're quicker and they move the puck better, and I think that they're more effective offensively. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You see it every day, right?
I see it every day, and I brought it up on my podcast today, and it's Game Misconduct. Get it where you get your podcasts. And I've been against having him be on the third pair because he's too significant a player. But Schneider is playing so well, and he's playing with Miller. And for those of you who don't know, and Peter may be one of them, he's going to go to the game tomorrow. Rangers are banged up. There's no Trouba. There's no Lindgren. So Chad Ruedel's played, former Pittsburgh Penguin. With Zach Jones, they've been a very nice third pairing. The second pairing with Gustafson, who may not play tomorrow, he's banged up. Getting a chance to play with Fox, and that's offensive. And Miller and Schneider have played terrific, and they're playing a ton of minutes, and they've done a great job. And the Rangers' record is phenomenal without Jacob Trouba. But Jacob Trouba is your captain. He's also can get a hit that can change things, and he's a good offensive player for a defenseman. But I think Miller got to stay together. So does that mean maybe breaking up the pairings during games, depending on what the score is, depending on what the series is in the playoffs? But I think instead of looking at it as a Jacob Trouba problem, look at it as, hey, Braden Schneider is growing into becoming a really good defenseman on his team. And unfortunately for Trouba, he plays the same position on the right side. So it's going to come at the expense of somebody's minutes.
Peter Laviolette will figure it out. But it is a nice problem to have, but it is a problem when Trouba comes back, whose minutes are going to be sacrificed, and I don't think it should be Braden Schneider's minutes.
Let's go to Harrison in the car. Hey, Harrison.
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
What's up?
You too, man.
So over the weekend, the Penn State wrestling team won their 11th national championship in 13 years. And I feel like they don't get enough national recognition for it. Would you guys rather win one national championship in like football or basketball, or win 10 or 11 in 13 years for a sport nobody cares about?
God, I'd have to ask Buttle about this because he went to Penn State. It's a great question. I mean, it really depends on how interested you are in that sport. Now, it's an incredible run. But we don't talk a lot of college wrestling. Matter of fact, we talk zero college wrestling.
Absolutely zero.
So So I would think for a school like Penn State, I think they take the one national championship in football or basketball over the 11 and 13 years in wrestling. I don't want to take anything away from wrestling, but what does it mean financially to those schools? What does it mean to recruitment for those schools? One gets a lot of attention and one doesn't get any attention at all. So
I know.
Now, if you're a smaller school that doesn't have big football, basketball programs, I guess you take what you can get. But as far as like income for the school and attendance to the school,
I mean,
and recognition for the school, football and basketball is just going to be what everybody's going to want. Unfortunately, I did not know that story. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's been a crazy run. Let's go to Josh in Plainsboro. Hey, Josh.
How you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago. I'm the Steelers fan who called, who was a little upset with you guys last time, but I'm feeling a little better now.
Okay,
feeling
good.
A little better.
We're glad. And we've talked your team up. What they've done with the quarterback situation is quite impressive.
Yeah. Things have changed 100% since the last time we talked.
Right.
So I called because of the hip drop tackle rule in the NFL.
Now, J.J. Watt's upset about it.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, man. I mean, if you guys think back to 2 years ago, and there's hundreds of examples of it, but the Seahawks-Cardinals game, Buda Baker makes an interception at the goal line, and he starts running it back, and DK Metcalf chases him down. That's a hip drop tackle that he did on him to stop him. You know, and that's
is the hip drop tackle when you dive at their hip, essentially?
It's when you bring your weight, use your body weight to bring them down by their waist. Which, like, is what I'm not understanding, because if you're a defender, right, and you're chasing somebody, how else are you supposed to bring them down? If you're behind somebody, you're supposed to just allow them?
Well, that's illegal, isn't it? Yeah, you can't go low because you can blow out their knees.
You can't
go high, you can concuss them. Now you're messing with the midsection.
You can't horse collar tackle them, obviously.
Josh, I guess there's probably some reason for it from an injury standpoint, but I don't know what defenders are supposed to do anymore. If they're going to think where I've got to hit you, the guy's already blown by you. They've done everything to cripple defenses. That's why I kind of laugh at the statistics that offenses produce now, because there's almost every rule seems to benefit the offense. I'd have to get somebody on here, Josh, to explain what kind of injuries have come from this, or kind of technically explain it. But from when I saw what J.J. Watt said, I don't know if we can punch up. Let me see if I can find it. And Josh, thank you for the phone call. What J.J. Watt had to say about it maybe would give some clarity to it. But you know, Peter, what are you supposed to do?
If what he's saying is accurate, Don, that you're talking about when you dive from behind someone and pull them down by their waist, I don't know where. What options do you have?
I want to just get this technically right, because the way you are explaining it sounds to me like there's almost no way to tackle anybody anymore. There's got to be some kind of nuance to it. And when I read around in preparation for the show, I saw J.J. Watt tweeted, Ian Rappaport says the NFL has banned the hip drop tackle, sources say. The competition committee was unanimous on it. J.J. Watt said, just fast forward to the belts with flags on them. So that's the way he described it. I want to get more technical behind this and try to find it. But J.J. Watt's right. What are you supposed to do, Peter? If I tackle you high, I can concuss you. And that's a penalty. If I try to tackle you low, which every offensive player doesn't want you to do because they'd rather have a concussion than their ACL or MCL blown out, so you can't go low. Now you're telling me I can't go mid. Well, how am I supposed to tackle anybody? And if I got to think about it, that's all the time it'll take for me to be able to miss a tackle. So hopefully we'll be able to get some clarity on this.
Yeah, that job is already practically impossible. Let's go to Alex in Philly. Hey, Alex.
Oh, you know what? That sounded like somebody that was trying to listen to his wife.
Why did you hear that? The only word we heard from her was go, but I explained it to you. That's perfect. It's literally just the conversation we have. Well, Alex, try to call us back. Let's go to Bernie in Virginia. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, two quick points. First of all, I believe the hip drop is where the defender drops his hips onto the offensive player's ankles.
Yeah, sorry. Right. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at one of them now, Peter. You can probably punch it up. Just search hip drop on Twitter.
And yeah, got like that's a lot of injuries because from behind you fall on their ankles.
Right. You're running ahead of me. I grab your hips and as I bring you down, I kind of fall on top of your legs.
Oh yeah, I know it well.
So I know that obviously can cause catastrophic injury.
You land on the back of their foot essentially.
But looking at it. Is that player doing it intentionally, or is the legs of the runner dragged underneath the tackler because they're trying not to be tackled? You know what I'm saying? Like, so is it just the momentum thing? It's so weird. Obviously, it was unanimous, so they obviously think this was a smart thing to do. But looking at it, I don't know what the defender could do differently.
I guess the thing is that they are intentionally just becoming dead weight onto that offensive player's ankles. The one thing I just wanted before I go, I do think Zach Wilson is going to be the Jets' third string quarterback, and I think it's very easy to see why this is going to happen. Aaron Rodgers and his ego. Aaron Rodgers has already said, "I love Zach Wilson. He's a great kid. We work well together." Blah blah blah. Aaron Rodgers is going to take it upon himself to single-handedly remake Zach Wilson and become a fan favorite, take pictures with him, show him on the field, all that stuff. Aaron Rodgers will not allow. Aaron Rodgers runs the Jets. We all know that. He's going to say, "I love Zach Wilson. I know Zach Wilson. He's your third guy. I'm going to take him under my wing like I was supposed to last year." And the fans are going to say nothing about it because whatever Aaron Rodgers says goes. That's the gospel of the Jets right now. Yeah. And I'm telling you, he's going to take it upon himself to remake his image.
And Bernie, could even be just the case of, hey, I don't want $11 million of dead cap money either. I want you to be able to spend that money in trying to improve the team. I mean, that's going to have to be something there. All right, here's the way it's explained in the rule book, right? It is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. Grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's leg at or below the knees. Now, but I've just grabbed you. I got to bring you down. So by bringing you down, I'm also going to bring myself down. Am I intentionally trying to trap your legs under mine, or is that just the circumstances of the tackle?
We'll get more into this. We have two phone lines open if you want to get in, 1-800-919-3776. We'll also hear from Shohei Ohtani in just a moment and give you the update on what he has said. Say goodbye to busted brackets. FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Duke, they've won enough, all right? You got to hope they lose in the Sweet 16. $200 to use on point spreads if you win. Money lines, you can pick who's going to win it all. You could bet specific props, so much in there. Just visit FanDuel.com/Peter and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. All right, 21 and over in physically present New York for his online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. That expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
K. Can you be driven by what makes you feel good? Can you be driven by what you think is the right thing in your heart? We love Saquon. We drafted him second overall. He's such a good kid. Give him what he wants. Give him $15 million a year. Give him $20 million a year. We just can't have him go. Like a lot of fans have said on the show. Can you afford to be that way? You're an executive. I think you got a stone cold killer. And not let your heart get in the way. Everybody loves Saquon. Peter, we love Saquon.
We love Saquon.
I hated to see him go.
I hated
but it was the right thing to do.
You had to do it.
And if it means him going to Philadelphia for what's right for your organization, then you live with that. So in a way, I love John for being sick to his stomach like Dave Rothenberg was when it happened, the way I was when it happened, because we love Saquon so much. But I need my executive to think it was the right thing. This is what we have to do. Sorry. You know, and I stand by the decision from my general manager and my head coach. We're going to get better and we're going to move on. So I love that John is so in, but I wish he had a little bit more killer in him. A little bit more. Peter.
There you go.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without Peter.
Thank you. I enjoyed my ad-libbing there. Big win for Don on a Monday, and we just spent the commercial break watching Shohei Ohtani's press conference from Los Angeles. He is sitting there with a new interpreter. And according to Shohei, from what we heard so far in the first 5 minutes of this presser, obviously through translation, he knew absolutely nothing of the gambling, had nothing to do with it in any way, was being lied to by Ipe, the translator. The Ipe speaking to the media was done completely behind Shohei's back. Essentially, from what we heard, Don, Ohtani says he knows absolutely nothing and was completely in the dark on all of this.
That he is the victim. Money was stolen from him, didn't know anything about it, had no idea that he was gambling, so there it is. He has answered. He has said that this was theft. Didn't know. All right. Now they're going to investigate and find out who's telling the truth, because there's two different stories. So who's telling the truth?
And boy, does Major League Baseball hope that he's just telling the truth.
They're hoping that he got robbed.
But where did Michael say he heard? I think it was on the air. But didn't Michael say that he heard someone had said that Shohei is like really bright, but kind of a rube when it comes to business?
Yeah. I don't know where he heard it, but he heard that. Yes.
And by the way, I could believe that. If you're Shohei Ohtani, Don, what would you guess? I have never seen a biography on Shohei. What would you guess? He's like 30 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you guess, since what age he's been treated like a porcelain doll who could make everybody tons of money?
I have no idea. I'm sure for more than half his life, probably.
Right. I would say the oldest he could have been, it would have been like early teen years, right? That would mm-hmm. be but there's a chance it goes back even further. Maybe right. Since he was mm-hmm. eight. We don't know. But basically, for sure, his entire adult life and going into his teenage years, he has been treated like this bizarre, you know, athletic freak who can make everybody rich. It is fully reasonable to believe that he might be completely ignorant and naive when it comes to his finances and dealing with people and maybe reading people. He may have lived a very sheltered life
where he just
completely dropped the ball here.
Yeah, it is believable. I think it's a lot more believable than people give it credit for, because like I mentioned last week, I've worked with athletes, gotten to know athletes that have a lot of difficulty functioning in the real world because they're all focused on their task at hand. And everything's taken care of for them outside of life, even during games. Like this is when you report to the bus. This is the hotel you go into. If somebody's carrying your bags. All you have to focus on is playing baseball, whatever sport it is that you play. And it is possible that you rely so much on other people that you really don't know what's going on. Like, doesn't it make sense that if he trusted this guy and this guy did everything to the point where they're actually warming up together on the field, that there was a lot of things going on he just didn't know about? Yeah, is it ignorant? Sure. But it's not impossible to believe. But the investigation will tell you whether he's telling the truth or not. He wouldn't be the first person to lie.
It says one of the main lines they're taking away from this is that Ipe admitted that he was stealing Shohei's money to send it to the bookmaker using Shohei's account. So that whole thing of, Shohei was the one signing off. So Michael's a bad person to ask about this because he's never, according to him, Michael literally just keeps a checkbook and balances the books. You know, he doesn't even touch a computer. Okay. So he may not be the best person to ask about modern versions of this. I have people who pay when I want to. For example, Don, next week when I go to do my Cheap Heat Live in Philadelphia, I'm doing an event which required me paying for a room. I'm selling T-shirts, which required me buying the shirts. All of those things were paid for by me. I never touched any of the payment.
Right.
My business manager sent every single thing. I send an email with her CC'd, and I say, we owe so-and-so X amount of money. She then asks that person for an invoice, and then she, on my behalf, pays them from me.
Mm.
So there is a world in which if your person who you have doing that for you is a scoundrel, people could say they're getting money from Shohei Ohtani that he does not ever see.
Right. What I need to find out from Nancy, because full disclosure, there's a payment that I make that the money's wired. It's a wire transfer. Nancy does it. But she does it, is it my name or is it under her name? I got to find that out.
It could be either one, though.
Right. But if it's in my name, I didn't do it. She did it. Like, so I know Michael says that the bank will call and there's like three separate times where you have to identify who you are. But if the person that's doing all this for you has the ability to identify themselves as Shohei Ohtani, they've got the accounts.
But they do. Like, right. Michael, that whole spiel Michael gave about how hard it is to wire money, that would only be true if the person's not authorized to do so.
But if he's authorized
to do
so.
My business manager only sends money for me. I have no idea. Unless I go, look.
Right. So Ohtani really can't get up from being ignorant.
No,
on this subject.
He would have to say, I empowered this person.
Exactly.
They took advantage of me.
Right.
He can't. Now, he can claim, he can say, I trusted this person.
That's it.
And I thought I was completely cheated. But he will still have some responsibility in that he empowered the person.
Right. So the only thing he could be guilty of here is being a rube and being taken advantage of. Or he could be lying.
He did say something along the lines of, he was saddened that someone he trusted in this way would do this to him. We will have more of this and so much more when Anthony Pusick steps in the room for a big ENN next, right here on 98.7 ESPN and YES.
The baseball players are almost ready for the season, but you're still holding on to that winter weight. Time to shed that fat, get ready for the warmer weather of spring with NJ Diet. For over a decade, they've helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.